to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
7:11 in the morning. Senator Durbin standing by at Senator Durbin on social media. And good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Steve?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm a little frustrated with you guys. Not you guys. The entire political process. I assume you share that.
I do, but I think things are really shaking out. Hillary Clinton's wins, particularly in Nevada, I think give her a clear lead in delegates. Bernie Sanders has a lot of support, but I think there was a fear that if Bernie carried Nevada, it was going to be a toe-to-toe contest to the end. So at this point, Hillary has some momentum, and I think she's likely to be the nominee. Now, on the Republican side, I'm running into Republican senators this morning in the gym who were saying under their breath, we've got to step up and endorse Rubio. This is the only way to stop Trump. So that appears to be the growing feeling. You could see it in the endorsements on the Republican side.
What is the disinterest in Governor Kasich? I know Kasich, he's got all the electricity of an Amish farm, but having said that...
That's a great line, Steve.
Well, thanks.
Thanks,
I have writers. But in all honesty, he's one of the most qualified guys, and in the field of the Republicans, why is he unable to break through? Is he just not noisy enough?
You're asking me to analyze the Republican primary voter. I may not be the best person to do it. John was elected to the House same year I was, 82. There are only two Republicans elected that year, new members, John Kasich, Tom Ridge. Each went on to become the governors of their state. And so I've known John for a long, long time, and what you hear is basically his brand of politics. It doesn't appeal that is selling in this Republican primary atmosphere.
It's, regardless of your party, the idea that that amount of experience is now a negative, I don't know. In the meantime, Bernie Sanders was in the House forever. He's been in the Senate for what? I think he's in his second term now. 2007 or so is when he took over for Jim Jeffords.
Sounds right.
So how does a guy who made almost no noise in Congress suddenly be this big a deal as a national flavor? What is the juxtaposition with Hillary? And is this more about being tired of the Clinton name?
Well, I think there is some of that. I'm not going to discount it completely. But basically, Bernie's message strikes a chord with many voters. He basically says this system is not working well for working families. And frankly, a lot of people in the financial community in Wall Street are getting off the hook. We bail them out, and then they turn around and get fined. Nobody spends a day in jail. And at the end of the day, we end up believing that the deck is stacked and rigged. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. It certainly resonates when he says that working families are falling behind. Steve, the folks listening to your program, if they looked at the numbers, would say, we don't get it. You know, our productivity as American workers, the profitability of the companies that we work with has grown exponentially, and our wages aren't growing. What's wrong with this picture? So when Bernie starts talking about that, he is really striking a chord, and Hillary's listening along with everyone else.
Well, it's been made very clear how unpopular Ted Cruz is in the Senate. What is the feeling amongst Democrats about Bernie Sanders?
Well, it's positive. As I've said to people over and over again, every speech you've heard from Bernie, I've heard at lunch for the last several years. He gets up, and this is who he is. This is what he believes, and he speaks in very respectful tones, but firm about his beliefs. So, you know, there's a positive feeling about him. And, of course, you know, you'd be a fool to step back and not acknowledge that he has this incredible organization, particularly when it comes to fundraising. He's broken all the records of small contributors across America who are keeping his campaign afloat.
Andrea, say hi to Senator Durbin.
Senator, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, when I was in New Hampshire, I was getting the feeling when I was talking to Hillary supporters at the various rallies that, and then Bernie supporters actually too, that obviously they want their candidate, but one would be okay with the other. A lot of people I interviewed said, well, we really want Bernie Sanders to win, but we're okay if Hillary wins. I did not see that same, I guess, camaraderie on the Republican side. You know, voters very steadfast either for Cruz or for Trump. Do you kind of see that as well, too, among constituents?
Absolutely. It's been 8 or 9 years ago when I sat down with then-Senator Barack Obama encouraged him to run for president against Hillary. And I said to him, at the end of the day, both of you are going to light up the scoreboard of people who support you. And if we can bring those two factions together, we can win the presidential. And that, I think, is the same dynamic at work here on the Democratic side. I've heard exactly what you've heard. Bernie Sanders' supporters are loyal to him, believe in him, and they're passionate. But the thought of a Donald Trump presidency is not something that they're going to stomach. So they are likely to come home if Bernie is not the nominee and support the Democratic nominee.
The Donald Trump, the existence of Donald Trump is a factor of many things. It really appear to be the perfect storm, but it is undeniable that the people who have been the loudest and the people that have been covered the most are sick of, quote, politics as usual. Now, I can tell you again, and I've said this over and over again, when you say the guy says what he thinks, that doesn't make him presidential.
No.
Because anybody can say what they think, and they shouldn't be presidential. Having said that, why has he struck such a chord with the people that have been heard from so far?
Well, I think there is an anger out there about the state of politics in America, the state of the economy in America, and Trump taps it. I look at him and think, my goodness, how many times in his campaign has he said something which in the old days would have disqualified him? Remember when they
every
tossed
day.
Joe Biden? That's right. When they tossed Joe Biden because he quoted a British politician and didn't mention his name.
Right.
That was it. Biden,
right.
You're done.
Right.
And I look at Trump and I think, there's nothing. This man can attack the Pope. He can go after all of the Mexican Americans. He can do whatever he wishes. And there apparently is the appetite for that. I mean, some voters in the electorate. Think of this. In New Hampshire, Republican voters, 2 out of 3, agreed with the Trump statement that we should not allow Muslims to come in this country. By the time it got to South Carolina, Republican primary voters, 75% agreed with that statement. So he is appealing to a slice of the electorate that is angry and ready to go to some pretty extreme positions.
Antonin Scalia dies and literally his body hasn't left the state of Texas when a fever hits to say the president should not name a new justice. Now, look, with all due, and you've always been honest, with all due respect to both parties, if the situation were reversed, the Democrats would find themselves in a position as well. But it's not. The president has to execute his constitutional duty, and the Senate has the right to vote an individual up or down. I don't understand the delay.
Well, I can tell you, within 90 minutes after the announcement of Justice Scalia's passing, Senator McConnell, the Republican Senate leader, said, we are not going to fill this vacancy. We're going to wait till after the election. And I really think that was not appropriate. Let's just leave it at that under those circumstances. I believe most Americans understand, as you just said, Steve, there is a constitutional responsibility of the president to fill the vacancy, a constitutional responsibility of the Senate to advise and consent, which means an up or down vote. And I think that's a process that should go forward. If the tables were turned and Democrats were in this position, you may find a lot of us voting against the nominee, ultimately, for a variety of reasons. But I think in respect to the Constitution, we should at least go through this process. The president called a day or two ago. We talked about this. He has a list of potential nominees. He says these good quality people. I'm going to find one that I can stand behind and submit that name to the Senate. I think he has a constitutional responsibility to do that.
Any idea on a timeline?
No, he doesn't want to be rushed into it, wants to do it in a thoughtful way, but it comes as no surprise that they have been anticipating this. We have some justices who are up in years, and anything can happen, and so they had a list, I can't tell you the exact number, of potential Supreme Court nominees, which they're going through again.
Do you have to, if you're President Obama, put forward a sacrificial lamb because you are concerned the Senate will just shoot down anybody so you don't lose your A pick?
Well, I could tell you that he wants a person that will do justice, there's a pun for you, to the Supreme Court and its history and its responsibility. And he certainly wants someone who is credible that he can put forward. So I don't think it's going to be just a sacrificial lamb. I think it's going to be someone he truly believes in that he can get behind. But you have to say to the nominee, as you sit down and say, I'm going to submit your name, this is going to be a rough ride. You can imagine over the next 6 or 8 months, everybody's going to comb through everything you ever said or did. And so a number of nominees may not be ready for that.
Senator, do you see that vacancy being filled, though?
I can't tell you at this moment. I think based on Senator McConnell's statements, it is unlikely. But we have to go through this. We have a constitutional responsibility. rejecting the president's nominee sight unseen, which is what Senator McConnell was suggesting, it just doesn't work. Democrats and Republicans understand that is raw politics.
And Senator Kirk has stepped up yesterday and said, we've got to take a vote.
And I give him credit for that. And he's the only Republican I think of right now. Senator Grassley has hinted that he might, but he's not been as clear as Senator Kirk on this.
Yeah, so good for him. And how about the irony that Scalia, whose position we'd be filling, is an originalist who believed that the Constitution should be followed to the letter, and the people who are saying you can't fill it are the people who claim they love the Constitution and support Scalia. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's fairly typical of politics on Capitol Hill. You grab the Constitution and quote it when you think it helps and ignore it when it doesn't.
I know you like the gig, but you ought to get maybe your application in at Starbucks or something. I'm just saying.
Barista?
Barista Durbin. Is my coffee ready?
Is barista the masculine verb?
I believe it is. I believe it is. Look at you. You're already qualified. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Great. Good talking to both of you.
Take care.